Welcome back to another episode of Hardened Earl Hosers. It is me, File Crozy, and I'm here with Clex Aristi. How are we doing, Clex?
Not too bad. I'm getting some fall weather here.
Yeah, picked up some fall beverages from Starbucks.
Yeah, toasty warm.
Got some pumpkin spice lattes in the room.
Yeah, I do. Goes and, with my Ugg boots.
Yeah. Oh, I probably own a set of Ugg boots if they weren't so damn expensive. They look comfy as hell.
I'd do some moon boots, like some hot booties for like ski touring. I could do that. I don't think I could go full Ugg boot.
I could go full Ugg boot, I think.
You could go full Ugg
boot. If the price was right, I think I could go for it.
Stick some like Alpenstar stickers on the side just so
they're
a little bit more manly.
Yeah, some iron-on patches or something.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I could wear them uptown on the regular, but I'd definitely...
Yeah.
I'd test drive a set around the house for a while, I think.
Whew. Well, leaves are changing, falling. Got some reds and yellows out there. I don't know if that's true for the rest of the world, but up here in the gray white north.
It is, yes.
7 centimeters of snow on the mountain.
7 centimeters, that much already. It's going to be a good season for skiing. Too bad you won't be a part of that.
No, wouldn't be a part of them. Yeah, sitting around right now. I think it's going to cut your riding season in the mountains. So you're going to be coming.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Getting to that forever greasy, frosty.
Unfortunately.
Cold digits.
Yep. It's been raining for, 3 days now?
Yeah.
So we're getting into the slimy season.
You're already wearing your safety toque?
Well, safety enough. It's a big fluffy one. Today, we are talking about helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
I think we alluded to this on the last gear talk.
Yeah.
And it's just a pretty big ball of wax.
It is. It is interesting. I think there's a few myths out there. So we're going to go all myth-bustery.
Ooh, okay.
Kind of, I guess. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll start with the ratings.
Yeah.
Seems like a good place to start.
So, why don't we start with the worst?
DOT.
Yeah. AKA, it's a bucket on your head.
It is a bucket on your head. So, if you want to become a road crayon, wear that one.
Yep. So, the standard is just 400 Gs. It has to be less than or equal to 400 Gs of acceleration, traveling at 6 meters a second. And 6 meters a second is kind of like 20 kilometers an hour, 24 kilometers an hour, somewhere in there. So it's not that great. And 400 Gs
is... That's not even safe on a scooter.
400 Gs is borderline diffuse brain injury.
Oh. So it just spreads your brain injury out over your whole brain?
Yeah, there's not really a lot of that. A 400 G acceleration is a lot. And yeah, you're going to be concussed. So you think about that. If your helmet just hit the road at 20 kilometers an hour, you'd be...
Yeah.
Probably drilling on yourself.
Yeah, I could hit that on my pedal bike, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I definitely could.
Terrible rating, but, you know, it exists. It's better than nothing, I suppose, where you just put your... buy one of those coolers from Canadian Tire and smash that on your head.
Yeah, cut some eye holes in it.
Yeah, there you go.
Eye holes optional.
Eye holes optional.
Yes. So that one's not great.
No.
But it is required to wear on the road, I guess.
Yep. Minimum.
Minimum. Yep.
And, yeah. So...
maybe we'll jump up to the North American one, the Snell rating, which, in our opinion, is the next worst.
Yeah. So, Snell, I would summarize it more as like a roll cage rating, where it's two impacts that have to be less than 275 Gs at 7.75 meters a second. And yeah, like it's better, it's an improvement, but I mean, when you fall off your motorcycle, how many times do you hit your head in the same spot twice?
Almost never.
Yeah. So it,
so it's probably, it's more of a rating for inside vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like it's better. I don't know that it's what I would go for when shopping for a helmet.
And it is like Snell does really push the rigidity of the helmet.
Yeah.
Like the harder helmet, the better in their opinion.
Yeah, similar to DOT, right? Where, I mean, they've brought the standard down, but to make those two impacts less than 275 Gs, it has to survive the first one. And it's got to be a tough shell for that, and tough doesn't absorb energy.
So. It also sounds heavy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So the next one.
Yeah.
We're really blazing through these, but we'll come back to them, I'm sure, and touch on them again.
Yeah, I think the next one being ECE, which is the European standard.
Which is the good one.
Yeah. And yeah.
So
it's a six-dimensional free fall test at 8 meters a second. Boing, boing, boing.
Which is good. Strong. Which is real world crashing.
Yeah, where, I mean, the second time you hit your head, it's probably not the same spot as the first.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, so six-dimensional, and like they give it a toss and it just basically bounces. And
lifted with an anvil weight in it, and it just falls straight down, and they measure the acceleration in there.
Yeah, good. So, and this one is the better one. I think, just because it's more real world.
Yeah,
it's less, so. I don't know. You're never going to hit your head in the same spot twice, and you're going to want something more than the DOT rating.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
if you're going to crash anyways.
Yeah. And then I guess the last one above all this is the FIM, which is kind of the highest level right now, but they're all road helmets. So we won't dive down that. We won't go down that road.
No.
Because none of us are wearing, some Valentino Rossi edition AVGs or whatever.
Yeah. They sound very warm. Not a whole lot of airflow through there in the slow technical.
Yeah. So, what are you shopping for? What are you looking for?
I've been in the market for a few months now.
Standards wise, yeah. Well, before we go models, like,
oh,
where did you start when you were shopping for a helmet? What'd you look at?
I was looking at, well, I knew I wanted DOT because that's apparently, you hear that's the standard that you want.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Honestly, when I first got into it, I was really shopping for just like a decent helmet for a decent price.
Yeah.
And it ended up with one of the Fox, what are they, V1s, I think?
Yeah.
Back in 2018 or whenever they were.
Yeah, we have one sitting on the table here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up getting that one and it was fine. I think it's a bit big, which wasn't super great. It was fine when it was new, but then it kind of packed out right away and it wasn't super great afterwards.
Yeah.
And which I think is fairly important, actually. Having a decent or a good fitting helmet is key. Like having a nice snug one. I think a poorly fitting helmet is worse than having a proper fitting DOT helmet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd argue that. Well, you know, if you...
I'm a fit. Like, if it... Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, if you're... I don't know. If your helmet gets turned 90 degrees to your face...
I have the...
And then you go bouncing down the road, you're probably going to be in worse shape.
Yeah, but I mean, so I have like the long oval head shape and it's... finding helmets is such a... It's awful because they always just are like crushing my forehead. And... I've always been a little bit skeptical that if I take a crash, like the side of my head, if I took an impact there, it's unsupported. Like there's a big air gap. Or if I take like a full on front on, it's going to smash right across my forehead and it's not really going to spread that load out. And how's that going to help my skull?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. It just seems a little focused, but.
You can probably start running intermediate oval helmets then anyways.
Yeah. I don't know if I would split the, if I think I'd just keep looking.
Yeah. Worst case, keep looking.
Yeah. I don't know if I just, I don't know if I'd give up ratings for fit. I don't know that I would say at this point, maybe when I was a beginner, I'd consider it, but now, having taken a bump on the head, I'd just keep shopping until I found something that fit and had a good rating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a perfect world scenario for sure.
Yeah. Well,
And it is, there is enough helmets out there that it is a reasonable thing to achieve.
Yeah, I think you'll find it. And then, yeah. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so I had one of them. And I ended up getting I just wanted to spend, it was like, wow, I'm really tripping over myself here. The next helmet I wanted one with way more airflow. Because the V1 I found was pretty hot, and especially in the slow technical.
We're not the ones sitting here. It's got two, I think we got
four exhaust vents.
Four and we vents got that are like 1 inch wide, half inch tall.
Three intakes. Yeah. So anyways, I went the polar opposite and ended up with an LS2 MX470. And the helmet's good. I was really happy with it. It wasn't a MIPS rating. Didn't have a MIPS liner in it, but it had something extremely similar, I guess. It didn't have the rating, but it had the liner.
So MIPS is actually copyright, and it's just that sheet of plastic that slides around in there.
Yeah.
So it.
So there was a sheet of plastic in there.
There could be other equivalents.
Yeah. So there was a sheet of plastic in there, which I think was noteworthy. And this, I don't even know how many vents are on this MX470.
There's eight on the top, on eight plus four.
I think it's like 13 exhaust vents and 28 intake vents or something.
Yeah, they're nice.
They're very nice. And they're a reasonable price point. Like, I think they're in the 250 to 300 mark. And they are they ECE rated?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so they're ECE rated, DOT rated. So they're a little safer. And they're, like Alex was saying, they're the long oval. And they fit my head pretty good as well.
Yeah, they're almost, I would give them in between. Like I would agree. They're on the long oval side of intermediate oval, but they're not like.
Yeah. And actually, I noticed that the new version, the MX700, they went with full intermediate oval.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
And they're a wee bit heavier.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But they're very good helmets. I've had mine for 3 years now, coming up on four seasons, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's been awesome. It's been really good. But now that helmet has taken a few bumps, to say the least, and I'm shopping for a new one. And I've kind of decided that I am looking for the Liat 8.5.
Mm, you're fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's got... thing I like about it is it's got the, what they call the 360 turbine technology.
Yeah.
So there are little blue pucks inside, and they're supposed to limit the rotational force by like 30% or 40%, and then the straight impact by 30%.
Yeah, it's Liat's version of MIPS.
Yeah. And the reducing the... the straight on impact is kind of super, I don't know, it's super appealing to me. That's the word. And so that's kind of what I'm shopping for. I really like the safety features, the breakaway helmet, or the breakaway visor, sorry. And it is super venty. It's got vents for days, and apparently it's really good for the slow speed stuff. Yeah, so that's kind of my journey. So I am waiting for the 2022 Liat lineup to drop here in the next, I don't know. I guess they released it, but they haven't got any helmets in stock yet at Fort Nine or any of the other places I've checked. So whenever they come available, I'll be purchasing one of them. But yeah, how about you? Okay, we're on to Alex's helmet journey.
the three of them sitting here, three of the like five, six helmets, started with the Fox V1 and it was just a kind of first bike, fit good enough, DOT, was what I was shopping for because I didn't know anything at the time. And just looking at this, and it's a Snell rated, so we're a little bit.
So we're rigid.
We're rigid, we're tough, but we absorb some energy because we're. We're 275 G's, not 400. And it was good, but the venting, it fit poorly. This is when I discovered that, the intermediate oval, like there's different head shapes and not all helmets fit the same.
And you were riding a 650 at the time when you got it.
Yeah,
I was
riding a 650. And it was just my introduction. And then after that, I got the switch bikes, the BMW. G450X, and bought an LS2 and not the, what's this guy, the MX?
That's the 470, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your other one was different.
The subverter. So I had two of the LS2s before this that I loved, and they had a pump-up cheek pads. So as your cheek pads packed out, You pump them up every time. Oh, those helmets are beautiful. And they were ECE. Yeah, and they were great. Because it fits so good, I bought a second one a few months later just to have it. So, you know, your helmet falls off your bike and it knocks around and gets smashed. And
you go for an oopsie-daisy down the road or something or into a tree. Yeah,
yeah, I just... It fits so well. I just figured I'd have a second one on hand. And
they're cheap enough. You can have a second one on hand.
I think they're like $150.
They were?
Yeah, they were crazy cheap.
Oh, man.
And then they got those two, you know, finally smashed around. I ripped a visor off one. And Dylan just, it'd been around long enough and
a while.
Knocked around, so...
And around that time period, you were putting a ton of hours on your, probably you were getting a 500 at that point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those were both on the 500 and
yeah, you put in so many hours.
The liners got super dank and
I'm at that right now.
So I couldn't get new liners. And I was like, okay, well let's try these subverters look so good. So I was hoping they were still the same head shape and I bought this one and in the blue colorway when I had the Sherco, and it was a great helmet. Like you say, it was super light. The eye opening, we ride without goggles a lot because it's all slower speed and you're not dealing with the wind and dust and all that. So loved that.
Yeah, the eye port is very big, which is a big selling feature for sure.
Looking at these two helmets sitting next to each other, the Subverter and the Fox V1, like it's huge. This one here, if you look closely, there's cracks in the shell where I took a crash and got a concussion in it.
And that's your most, I guess that's the last one you had before your newest one.
Yeah. Yeah. So after this, they have their equivalent of the MIPS where they've put a hard inner shell that allows the liner to slide. That's LS2. It allows the liner to slide. And that's kind of their equivalent of the MIPS where you have that plastic inner so that as the helmet rotates around your head, it doesn't whip your head with it for the rotation forces.
And in the later models, they do actually have it full MIPS rated or like full MIPS system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think you can. Yeah. I don't think you can buy one without it now. They kind of went to the new Subverters and wanted that. Yeah.
And the ECE DOT. Thought it was interesting that Snell got kind of into it with DOT and said that it's, we're going different directions, we're incompatible, it's one or the other, and I think ECE pretty much won out on that battle.
I think so.
And then, now I'm on to a Liat 4.5. and
GPX, right?
GPX.
Yeah.
4.5, Cape Town colorway. And I didn't look that closely. I just saw that they had the turbine system.
Yeah.
And Liat. And it was pretty light. I like a light helmet.
And it's a small shell.
Yeah, and they had a variety of shell sizes, and they fit pretty tight. Like, it's not a big, bulky helmet. And, we were just looking at this here, dug it out, and it's only DOT.
Yeah, that's a big disappointment to find out. That's a
big disappointment.
Spend a bit of money on a fancy helmet and it's not rated for a bicycle.
It's 1.3 kilograms. That's it's super light. It's nice. I'm a little saddened now.
Yeah, but hey, without safety, it is lighter.
So yeah, maybe she'll shop for a new helmet. So I guess. What I'm looking for is that fit and an ECE rating and a light shell. Like I'm at a point where I think it's worth spending the extra money on the fancy shell materials like the carbon fiber and stuff like that, or the
even tri-weave. The composite. I think is the
yeah, the aramid fiber, aramid Kevlar.
The composite is like the still plastic or whatever, essentially, but it's not the polycrylite or whatever it is. That's like the super heavy one. I think it's like a blend.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this at the beginning of the year, when you first get out and start riding again and you get the neck aches, because you're not used to rocking an extra like 4 pounds on your head. Well, I just, you know, I would shell out the extra money for the, because a lot of the days are just so long that it's just that much less fatiguing.
And you know what? I think I'd almost argue that it is safer to have a lighter helmet with less mass on your head, and
I think it's safer just
neck in the and whatnot.
Yeah, but even just fatiguing, right?
Like yeah, absolutely.
If you're out there for an 8-hour day and your neck's tired and you're not looking around like you should be,
you're straight up not having a good time.
Yeah, and you're at risk of hitting stuff because you're just not moving around. Yep. You're not being an active rider.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. So in shopping for helmets, being 4.9 lovers here because Canada.
Canada. There's not too many other options though, realistically.
No, they're
Rocky Mountain might be more of an option if we were closer to the border.
Yeah.
But getting it over the border is outrageous.
Oh, it's just such a pain. I just thought like the spread of helmets that they offer for dirt in their dirt section.
Yeah.
Of them, they have 239 helmets options.
That's significant. Yeah.
49 of those are DOT only.
Not many.
Yeah, not many. I thought that was shocking, like 1/6 of the helmets. 155 are ECE and only 35 are Snell. So there's even less Snell helmets than just DOT only.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think that's good when they're carrying good rated helmets. Like it's not.
Yeah, so many options.
Or, you know, companies are just paying attention and going for the ECE and realizing that DOT isn't.
And I think in the dirt world, there's so much that comes over from Europe anyways, that is a big part of it, as Snell is mostly North America, if almost exclusively.
Yeah, I would almost say it's America.
America. Yeah. They're going to make helmets great again. See what I did there?
I did.
A little Trump banter.
Oh, no. Here we go. Getting political. I can see the comments rolling, the messages now. You did this to yourself.
The DMs. Oh, no. Yes. Yes. Anyways. Things to look for on when you're buying a helmet. Because this was something I looked pretty heavily on. There's so many options out there. And I kind of, I was looking for some of these things. Like the MIPS is a big deal, whether it's like the actual MIPS or something equal, similar, to allow your head to move inside the helmet to reduce that, reduce the torque, I guess, the stress on your everything.
Yeah, the rotational forces.
Yeah. Yeah. So your brain doesn't get bounced around inside the old noggin.
Yeah.
Breakaway visor is fairly important, I think, so you don't get that extra force.
Yeah. And I would add to that the availability of an extra visor. Because that was something when I was getting this Liat that I had to cruise around to find that, make sure that I could buy extra visors.
Ooh,
and then probably the next one, I would buy just a spare visor because I have two helmets with broken visors that, you know, a branch just grabs and breaks it off. And you're like, and then you got to buy a whole new helmet.
And nobody wants to ride around with no visor.
No, you're Ronnie Mackin. No.
Looks ridiculous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something I would pick up, like going, you know, if I got my...
That's really interesting. I might have to think about that.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah, moving on.
And
something I think is important is the removable cheek pads.
Yes.
If you're riding and then you go yesing too hard and you end up laying on the ground and someone's got to get your helmet off.
Yes.
I think having those removable cheek pads is very important. And then your helmet can just come off that much nicer.
So... Yeah, we'll
safer.
We'll elaborate on that because I think most helmets, just so listeners aren't confused, removable helmets or removable cheek pads, not being like you can remove them to wash them, but where they have the tabs, like on the Liat here, where you can grab a little red tab underneath and pull down, and it just pulls the whole cheek pad out so that your helmet can come off without having to wiggle it if you have a neck injury.
Yes. So another good safety feature. I really like that one. That was on my list of things to look for when I bought one. And yeah, and something, what I like is the, like I said before, is like the Liat 360 turbine pucks. Either those or Fly Formula makes something extremely similar, very similar blue puck, an impact energy cell, they call it. Something like that to just move the, just to reduce that smashability on the old noggin. Mm-hmm. And the variable density liners is also important.
Yeah.
I think is for your slow speed and your high speed impacts.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to maximize your energy absorption. Energy absorption. Wow. PSL's got my tongue all tied. Yeah. And white girl wasted.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So those are kind of a bunch, some of the things I look for. Venting is a pretty big one. Not that it's safety, but it's a big thing that I look for because we're the hard enduro hosers. We ride the slow stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be buying a Liat 8.5. It's only 0.1 pound heavier than the carbon fiber, so I don't think I'll opt for the carbon fiber.
Yeah.
I'll probably save my $200 and rock one that's 0.1 pound heavier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the exact same helmet, except not carbon fiber.
Yeah.
And that's going to be okay.
And so the drink tube, is that of the...
It does have the sip tube option.
I like it.
I think it's worth it.
So that was, I had modified one of my LS2s for that. And I think it's great for when you want to drink.
Yeah. I was finding in the last hard... I don't know. I'm going to call it the hard enduro race in our local area here.
Yeah.
I'd have to wait till I got into some field switchbacks to drink. And there was only two of them in the 10-kilometer course, so it was not great.
Yeah. And for me, when I was doing that, I had the drink tube, and I just put it in my teeth. And it just hung out there. Whenever I was thirsty, I just took a drink. And when I'm riding, it just, you don't have the teeth chatter going on.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah.
Never. So I think that's something I'm going to look for. I'll probably buy the tube kit or whatever, and then I can keep that in the helmet. Then if I just want it regular, I can just have the other end of a hose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Be able to clip in there.
That was this one here is, filling around with helmets. It was just the kit where you just pull out your standard end. Just pull it out of your standard tube, and you just jam the kit in, and then you have the other end just kicking around. Oh, there you go.
Happiness is.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. I made a list of some helmet options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Some decent ones.
The Fox V3 RS is like surprisingly well rated. And that's a reasonable helmet. It is like considered a premium helmet, I think, but it's only at like $600.
Yeah.
Which is still very reasonable.
Yeah.
Compared to any other thing.
And rating-wise, your, like, user review rating?
And, like, actual, like, testing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's really good. Troy Lee Designs SE4 model.
Yeah. TLD stuff's nice looking.
Yeah. See, I was thinking about getting one of them. They are very busy helmets.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want a fixed visor.
Mm.
So I really don't know where to have my visor hang out.
Yeah.
So I'd like someone to just choose for me, and then I'm not going to worry about it.
I just put mine into the middle. I just put it on the middle of all the settings, and then like, yeah, this is probably where they wanted it.
This is,
because you don't want to be the guy with like your baseball peak flipped inside out.
Yeah,
your visor's pointed at the sky. Hey guys.
Yeah. So that's
like dirt bikes.
Yeah, I know. And then or the other option is having it too low. And the LS2 visors are very long.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can catch some serious roost.
You get them low. It's like the ball player look, right? Where you've like rolled the peak in your hat. So it's like a tunnel.
Yeah. It does look very tunnel like when you pull it right down. So I don't want to have to deal with that. I think that's something that, I don't know, needs to be decided for me because I'll keep messing with it and he's been bumped around and it's like the heck with it. Moving on.
All right, what else you got?
So that's why I didn't get the Troy Lee, or I don't want the Troy Lee. Too busy. But I do like busy helmets. That's a lie. I do have a very busy helmet. The Subverter Triplex. Triplex? I don't know. It's that one. Hi-Vis yellow, pink, black, white. It's a whole thing. But I figured I want a fixed peak. So I'm going to go with the Liat Moto 8.5. All the Liat Moto lineup actually has those 360 turbine pucks in them. Even the, like the 3.5, the lowest model, which is a really good option, I think. I'd probably recommend that for like an entry-level one. They are right around $300. $300 Canadian. So, geez, that's got to be like $200 American by now. My goodness. But anyways. Yeah,
there's some good options there.
It is a really good option.
Bell MX-9 MIPS. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of ventilation, but I mean, it's $200 and you're into a MIPS helmet.
Yeah. The 6D ATR2 apparently is one of the most safety-oriented helmets. Only downside is it's a fair bit on the heavy side. So I think it might be, I don't think it's Snell certified, but I do think it's like fairly heavy. So keep that in mind. Alpenstar Supertech M series also have great options. They designed their M10 and M8 for like super safety oriented, even as far as like the shape of the shell, which was very appealing to me. Almost pulled the trigger on one of them and looks good. Fixed peak, fixed visor. And yeah, it looks really good, but it doesn't come with free goggles. And I kind of want the free goggles, if I'm being honest. And they don't have the, any like the little cute blue pucks that I think is very important for.
Yeah, type of rotational.
Yeah, and force absorption. This sounds very, very fancy. Yeah. Force absorption.
Yeah. No,
And like the M5 is also a super safe helmet. And it's that entry level because obviously if you spend $800, you're going to get a fairly safe helmet. But I thought I'd give some people some cheaper options that are just getting into it or need a cheap helmet because not everyone can afford those big fancy ones.
No.
And some just don't want to afford the big fancy ones either.
Yeah. I'd also like throw it though. I wouldn't like go to an off brand, like a lesser known brand and spend less. Like this is your head we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Like this is your personality. You don't want to be a driller.
Definitely. So it is worth doing some research, like we said, but these are just some decent options. Fly Formula is the other, that's a fancy one.
Yeah.
But
like the big brands like Bell, they're so committed to it. They've done this a lot. They're
so committed to Snell.
Yeah. Is it the Bell is all the Snells?
There's Snells. They're Snell and they're rigid and they're heavy and they belong in a rally car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that apple crisp macchiato is very tasty. You know? Yeah. Makes me want to go out and buy some Ugg boots.
Very festive.
So festive. But yeah, anything else you'd like to add, Alex?
No,
Is there anything?
I want an EC helmet that's as light as possible with good vents, some kind of MIPS. And
some MIPS-esque. MIPS. Something.
Yeah, or clone. And yeah, replaceable visor that I can buy with the helmet from the same place.
Another thing for a Liat is you can buy replaceable cheek pads, and you can also get them bigger or smaller just to make the helmet fit that much better.
Upsize? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think they come in like 5 millimeter increments.
Yeah,
which is noteworthy. I thought that was very interesting. If you have a worn out ass Liat, you can go buy some fresh cheek pads that are tight again and.
Another recommendation is like, you know, in the day of online. We can
talk about the D-ring thing as well, because that is something that is worth talking about.
It's in today's day and age with the online shopping that go and try helmets on. I think that's a huge thing. Like,
yes.
Don't just buy based on what you see online. Like, oh, this fits like this. This fits like this.
Because just I'm go definitely in and try not going to do in. That.
Well, you know, we live somewhere where it's not like we can go to a store. But if you have shops nearby, like, go in, try helmets on. That was when I first bought The LS2, that was an in-person buy that I had I'd gone to a store in Vancouver and tried on a ton of helmets and was like, wow, this fits like so much better. And size-wise, you'll find you're a different size in different brands.
Definitely.
So.
And actually, that was a benefit for you buying that LS2 is because I actually got to try it on in person.
Yeah.
Which is huge, which is awesome. And yeah, so that's... It is worth going to try some on if you can.
Yeah, so
because it's hard. The D-ring thing.
The D-rings, the Liat and the Rusty D-ring.
Yes. Oh, no, they had the mounts, the strappies that were all rusty.
Oh, it was where they hooked into the helmet.
Yeah, where they go into the helmet.
Yeah. See, this one's got some steel looking rivets.
Oh, yeah. How about inside? What do we got for rust?
Nope.
Nope.
Still chromey.
Rust-free?
Rust-free, because I've worn this helmet twice. Oh, no, there is some rust still going on.
There is corrosion, yeah.
It's really hard to get in there and see, actually, but when you pull it the one direction, there is...
I know, and I noticed there is rust on my LS2. Huh? Strap mounts. I know. I kind of got made aware of the rusty strap mounts from Barry Morris and Cross Training Enduro.
At least it's like the how much rust versus when you're starting to rust to the point where you're affecting it's like structural integrity. Because this one's just like...
That's just regular rust?
Yeah, well...
That's just salty just water little, getting on there?
It's just a little bit of fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't even see in there.
Yeah, apparently some of them were like the straps were tearing out of them after 2 years.
Yeah.
Or a year, which is...
I've never had a helmet last 2 years.
Which is less than ideal. What, really?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Just
you buy so many helmets.
Something always happens. They fall off your bike or somebody kicks it over or knocks it over.
Alex their bike always falls gets over. Injured. Yeah.
Stuff always gets broke.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, look at that.
That's just spare parts come out of your helmet?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, the D-ring thing. So the other issue with some helmets is they go to alternative options for fastening the strap on the helmet. And the D-ring is apparently Fort 9 tested is the best option. The strap will actually break before the D-ring breaks, which the straps are actually rated to a certain amount of force, which is interesting, which mm-hmm. I thought was a little... Fun factoid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Ooh, the magnetic system, I think Climb has it,
yeah,
kind of pioneered.
The Fidlock.
That is like the next best option. It definitely breaks before the strap does, which is not the best.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close. So if you're like absolutely opposed to the D-ring, then probably get the magnetic one.
Yeah.
Absolutely avoid getting the plastic strap ratchety one because that is terrible.
That's cheesy.
And then you can get, yeah.
And do and up your helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like,
you have to do
so
up your helmet, people.
Riding around with their strap. You can clearly see the strap flapping because when it's not done up under your chin, it's long enough it's flapping behind you. Just.
I do it up just so it doesn't smash and make noise on the outside of my helmet. That drives me crazy when I forget to do it up.
Yeah,
I know.
One of those things when you're at the trailhead and someone's ripping around.
Yeah, in their overalls with no peak on their helmet.
Yeah, strap flopping in the wind. You're like, oh, okay, I don't really want to watch somebody die today.
Yeah, I'm going to be a witness.
Yeah.
And nobody needs that.
No.
Yeah, so that is something that's very important, I think, is doing up the strap.
Yeah.
And the D-ring and the magnetic is second best. And don't bother with any other system.
Yeah.
Because it could be a fancy helmet and it could get tossed right off of your big dumb head. And then you're just going to get injured. And nobody needs that. And you may as well just not spend the money on a helmet and just raw dog it.
I'm the D-ring lover.
And it's simple. It's not
It's not that big of a deal. Like, I have a Fidlock on my pedal bike helmet and...
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Is it awesome?
It's... I don't...
I've never had one. I'd like to fondle one day.
Yeah. Yeah, it does up super quick and stuff. But it also, sometimes the magnets, it sticks on the inside. So you have to pay attention to make sure that it actually like clicks on the right side. Sometimes they go back to back instead of...
Oh, that's less than ideal when it's underneath your chin and you can't have a little peek at it.
Yeah, you don't see it. Yeah. Yeah, usually like when you do it up with one hand, I just kind of swing it up and it clicks and then I just give it a little tug to make sure.
Oh, good idea. But
you know, sometimes you give it a little tug and it just pulls apart and you're like, oh, okay, it's growing. Yeah. Stick it again.
I'm in danger.
Whereas like the D-ring, I guess still you can do it up wrong and miss it.
Yeah, but kind of not really. You really have to work at it.
Yeah.
To like put through and then loop it over one. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just the act of, I guess when you pull it tight, you feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I think that the climb, F3 and F5 come with it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think the F3 is a good middle of the road helmet to buy too.
Yeah.
I was really looking at the climb F5, but I don't know. It just didn't seem to be. I'm nervous when it's like a summer and winter helmet. So I'm like, is the venting really that good?
And energy absorption, right? Like what you need in the winter, your helmet's not cold because your head's keeping it a little bit warm, but the foam is colder on the EPA.
For sure.
Right? And so the way that it needs to absorb energy is a lot different in the snow. And the snow is absorbing some of the energy when you fall off too.
Yep.
But I assume it's different sports and different requirements. Yep. And
lots of people do run those climb F5s. Yeah. And F3s and whatnot, and they say they're great, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm a big fan of Liat.
Yeah,
like I'm. It's
I also warmth. Like I would want like the minimal venting in the winter because I want to keep my head warm.
Yeah,
get my safety toque on.
Get your safety toque on.
In the summer when it's 37 degrees.
Exactly.
I want all the vents.
Yeah.
Right now.
Exactly.
Can you put a fan in that?
Unlikely. I know.
So the other, I think, thing to talk about is like the future of helmet ratings. And, you know, we kind of touched on some of them are, you know, a little bit better than others. But something that's come up recently in the mountain bike world is the Virginia Tech testing, where they're using they do two helmets, six impacts each in different places with a high and low speed impact. And they give a rating that is a probable reduction in concussion. And some of the helmets are like zero stars. Like they're not going to actually help you. And some of them go up to like 92%, 93%.
Wow. And
they're completely independent. They have no stake in any of the helmets.
They got no skin in the game.
No. And they've completely you can read their test procedures and it very clearly outlines like the level of transparency. It'd be really nice to see that for motorcycle helmets and dirt bike helmets where someone's independently testing these.
And like you were saying, there's so many options out there.
Yeah. And there's
just from Fort Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're talking the 239 options, but a lot of those are different colorways and the number of models.
But still.
Having a realistic test where they're dropping theirs onto a 45-degree slope with 60-grit sandpaper on it to simulate a road surface.
Oh.
Things like that are just, I see so much more realistic than the Snell where they're smashing a helmet in the same spot twice. And then, it's less than that.
Yep. Like, check and check.
If this guy gets hit with a sledgehammer twice in the same spot, he'll be okay. Well, I mean, when was the last time?
And if that's a probability for you, you need to reevaluate some life choices.
Yeah. It'd be really cool to see kind of that level of testing and numbers so that when you're shopping helmets, you can be like, oh, look, like, you know, this is twice as good as that helmet.
They could be the same price. They could look fairly similar in features.
Yeah. A more expensive helmet could test worse. And, you know, it's just better value in buying this one. Be like, hey, look. This one reduces the probability of me getting a concussion by 20% more than that other helmet.
Yeah.
And you'll really see like the construction materials and that and how they affect the safety and the design. You were talking on the dual density liners and yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see that.
It is interesting.
You know?
I do find it very interesting that there's just so many ways of doing it as well. But it would be cool to find a... I can't believe no one's done it actually for motorcycle and dirt bike helmets. Because it does seem like that's kind of a gap in the, I don't know, in the area.
They seem like an area we're really concerned. We wear a lot of safety gear, like if EC chest gear, back protector, knee braces, boots,
neck brace gloves, for me,
neck brace. Ooh,
and that was the other thing I wanted to mention is
compatibility.
Yeah.
But yeah,
because I don't think my LS2 is real compatible with my neck brace.
Yeah. I just wanted to
keep going.
We put a lot of effort into protecting a lot of other parts, but I mean, everything that makes you who you are is in your head.
It's true.
And, you know, you should, I don't know, I would spend more than all the rest of your gear on your helmet because like that is your personality you're protecting.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think like a lot of people say, and I think it is true, like spend as much as you can on a helmet.
Yeah.
Because I think it is very important to.
Yeah. Next time you're like eyeing up some fancy $150 gloves, maybe let's get some $50 gloves and spend a little more on the helmet.
Exactly.
You can get skin grafts on your hands.
Yeah. You can ride with a missing digit or two.
Yeah. But, you know, nobody wants a diffuse brain injury.
No, definitely not. And yeah, I guess you've had a few brain injuries now, even with, I guess not full brain injuries. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had,
concussions.
Dirt biking. It was just a very poor choice and straight into a tree and got whipped around. And, I didn't realize what had happened immediately because I'd never had a concussion before. And then just like lightheaded, wobbly, no balance, no reaction time, like just riding terribly. And I was like, oh, okay, like something's wrong.
This is weird.
I'm going back to the truck. And maybe that's part of why I feel like it's just so worth it. And I mean,
helmet. Tearing your ACL half a dozen times now. Yeah. You really push knee braces on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's only fair that you do the same thing when you've had a concussion or six.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Not six. Definitely. No.
Three?
No. Two.
Only two?
Only two. Yeah. But I just, safety's.
The third one's your last.
Yeah. No, I'm done. I'm slowing down. It's not worth it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something there. No, that was just an abrupt end. Okay. Yeah.
Protect your head.
Protect your head. And if you're wearing a neck brace, I think it's worth having the compatibility. And lots of them do say, or quite a few of them do say that this helmet is neck brace compatible or it's made if you want to run a neck brace and whatnot. And which is partially why I'm going with the Liat as well. It's because I have a Liat neck brace. And I think that they're going to be made to work together. So that's where we're at. Anyways, lots to chew on, lots to think about. It's time to open the old pocketbook.
Yeah.
And
if your helmet's getting old and wagged out, replace it again.
Yeah, exactly. And they say if you do have one big hit where you're kind of seeing stars or you have a big hit, it's, I don't even know
what to say. I would just say a big hit.
Yeah, the structural.
The foam inside there is only designed to absorb energy once.
Structural integrity is compromised when you have a big hit.
No, so even it's looking around at your shell, like your shell, this one's all scratched up.
This Fox V1 looks like it went for a slide down the road.
Yeah, it did. but... You know, even if the outside, you have a hit and you're like, oh, wow, like that kind of on my belt a little bit, but you're not concussed. You have a look at your helmet and you're looking around the outside and there's no marks on it or anything. Well, that doesn't mean that your liner hasn't absorbed its energy. And once that foam's compressed, it's compressed. It's not going to absorb energy a second time.
Absolutely.
And it's time to replace it.
Yeah. Which is probably why you've gone through so many helmets too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every year takes a big hit.
And the other side of me going through helmets is I seem to loan them out and people wreck them. Like this road rash on the side of this V1 wasn't even me.
What?
Yeah. I have two helmets that the sides are just rashed from people sliding down roads in gravel that I lent a helmet to.
That's wild.
They were like, oh, try. Yeah, we could do a whole episode on people. Oh, I want to try a dirt bike and what you shouldn't do. Like all the bad things we've seen unfold from that statement.
Yeah, I've never ridden a bike, but I can ride this YZ250. Yeah. No problem.
I rode a P-Dub when I was six. I can ride dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Oh, sure you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe there's another one in the works.
Another one?
Stacked that on the pile of the list.
Yeah. So, and give us a shout out for at Hardener Hosers for more topics.
Yeah.
If you want us to talk about something.
Yeah, or hardenerhosers.com, and that'll send you to our anchor, and you can just leave us a voicemail there, a voice message, and be featured in the show.
Be like Harlan and leave a voice message.
Yeah, be like Harlan.
Yeah, this guy's come up so many times. We've heard one voice message and a half from him. I know. So be like Harlan, leave a voice message, send us a DM message at Hardener Hosers Instagram, and give us some more topics, because I am rapidly running out of these topics. We're 18 episodes in now, and my creativeness is running out. We need some help.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're full of ideas still, but let us know you want to hear. Oh, we are. The other thing we're going to do is make some, we talked about the little protein bars and what people are eating.
Yes.
We did get a couple of recipes and some bars. So.
Ooh, the bar build off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's that many to do a bar build off, but we're probably going to have to make some and then report our findings back here. So we're going to do that one episode, one day, and then we're going to see what we can do.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, everyone enjoy their nice fall weather. That might not be fall weather yet, but for us, it's fall weather. So enjoy your fall weather, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, get out there and stay warm.